Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Benjamin Franklin once famously wrote in a letter to Jean-Baptiste Leroy in 1789 some very famous words. But in the world, he writes, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. And I think Ben Franklin forgot a third certainty, work. Everyone at some point in their life has to do some type of labor, whether it be a job or employment, occupation, whether it's working as a mother or a father, that there's something that you're going to have to put effort forth in this life. If work is a certainty, then so is the dreaded job evaluation. Now, job evaluations, as many of you may know, could make or break you in a company. But I found recently actual job reviews and the comments that managers have made on workers' rating forms. One manager wrote, "Works well when under constant supervision and cornered like a rat in a trap." Or this manager wrote, "This employee is depriving a village somewhere of an idiot." Or this one, "He slipped into the gene pool when the lifeguard wasn't watching." Or, "She brings a lot of joy when she leaves the room." Or finally, this one, "If brains were taxed, he'd get a rebate." Pretty harsh, right? These are real. Well, according to recent job satisfaction polls done by Gallup and Pew over the years, workers' feelings towards their employment is at all-time lows. No wonder job evaluations have comments like these. And when asked about the most enjoyable part of their job, the top answer was enjoying the company of coworkers. The second most favorite thing that people enjoy about their job was the commute. If the commute is one of the best aspects of your job, I mean, that really shows how much dissatisfaction is out there. But as Americans, why are we so unhappy at work? The place where we spend 40 or more hours a week. Well, I think most of the unhappiness is due to one problem. Most Americans see their worth through their employment. But it doesn't have to be this way. You know, one of the things that you do when you're meeting someone for the first time, you exchange pleasantries, and invariably the next question is, what do you do, right? That's a very American way of looking at things. If you were to go to France and ask a Frenchman what he does, and you would ask him, what do? He would say, well, what do you mean, what do? I do a lot of things. See, Americans, we see our worth in our job. As Christians, our value in God's eyes is not how prestigious our job is, but that we are simply God's gifted beloved. As we continue our stewardship series today, I'd like to challenge the notion that your value doesn't have to be found in your employment, but as God's gifted beloved. From our scripture reading today, the Apostle Paul communicated to the church in Corinth that God, through the Holy Spirit, gives each of us gifts. As members of the body of Christ, Paul instructed these believers to see that they had a calling and that their gifts were to be used for the common good, the building up of the body, their church. And all the members were equal. If all the members are equal, then all the members must equally use their gifts. Their value was not one of prestige in their congregation, but as God's gifted beloved. Corinth, in the time of Paul, was known to be one of the most sinful cities in the eyes of early church leaders and Judaism. For most in the city, their worship was centered around the Roman imperial cult and the worship of the goddess Aphrodite. And atop of the mountain in Corinth was a temple dedicated to her. And there was a constant worship, an offering of oneself to the god Aphrodite. And the worshiper's worth was how much they gave. Now, Paul, in his faith in Christ, didn't portray this relationship. So in the backdrop of the struggles in this church are what's going on in larger society. See, apparently the new believers in the church in Corinth, they didn't understand that the worship and relationship of the one true God through Christ wasn't like their pagan counterparts. Paul had to remind these believers that the church depends on its people and that all their gifts were equal. No one had superior gifts, even if it involved wisdom or healing or miracles. We Americans, we tend to see our gifts through what we do for employment. As Christians, we know that our gifts of time and talent and finances are all important, they're all equal, and we know all those are needed to make a congregation to be vibrant. One of the most American success stories that you can read about in history is one of John D. Rockefeller. At the age of 23, he was a millionaire. At the age of 50, he was a billionaire. He was one of the richest men in the world, but he was miserable. See, at the age of 53, he had worked so hard in his life to amass wealth that he ended up with physical diseases and ulcers. And he was gifted with wealth, but he was not gifted with health. He was working so hard to try to get more and more money that greed was literally killing him. That at the age of 53, the doctors told Rockefeller that he just had 1 year to live. Now here's a billionaire, one of the richest men in the world, and all he could eat every day was just crackers. That's how awful his ulcers were. A man could go out and buy any restaurant or chain in the world, but to have food on the table before him wouldn't do him any good. So it was in that year that he began to look at his life. And as he looked at his life, he realized all his life he had been a taker. And that's when he decided to be a giver. He looked at all his wealth and all the gift of his wealth, and he started to give it to churches and hospitals and foundations and to science foundations. And many of the discoveries we've had in medicine have come from the Rockefeller Foundation. And that man who only had 1 year to live at 53, that greedy old man, do you know what happened to him? Well, he started to give. And as he started to give, he started to get rid of his stress and his tension and his ulcers. And he began, for the first time in his life, to really live. And he lived to the ripe old age of 90. It's a pretty good comeback when you only have a year to live. John D. Rockefeller went from being a taker to being a giver. And it changed his life. It literally saved his life. Because he started to look at what he had in relation to God and in relation to others. The American monk Thomas Merton once pointed out that sometimes we have a conflictual understanding of success. He pointed out that many of us spend life climbing ladders of success in our jobs, only to find that when we get to the top of the ladder, that it's leaning up against the wrong wall. Paul, from our scripture reading, realized that there was a conflict in the Corinthian church, and some had their ladders on the wrong wall. Some thought their gifts were better. Others didn't utilize their gifts for the church. As Americans, I don't think our biggest challenge is that we don't have gifts. As a matter of fact, we are awash with resources. But to see ourselves as God's gifted beloved is a call to share our gifts. Gifts of time, gifts of money, gifts of talent, gifts of resources to God through our church. When I was an undergraduate student at Eastern University, I was studying for a political science class, which ended up being my minor. And as I read a book in the library, I can't really remember which one it was, I remember someone wrote something down the right-hand margin of the book I was reading, which you're not supposed to do. And I was reading this book, I think it was on like governmental systems and their positive and negative effects on the workforce. Really thrilling stuff, right? But in the margin read this: "You are not your job." And for the next semester and a half, I thought about that axiom. Was it true? Was it false? The truth is, many Americans think of themselves as their job. A nurse, a plumber, an engineer, a garbage man, a lawyer, a driver, a teacher. But in God's eyes, we are so much more than our jobs. See, the problem is our culture, it equates our vocation with our occupation. Now, these two things are different, but they're connected. See, occupation is our job, our profession, our employment. It's our means of work, means of finding money, means of making money, using our trade or skill. But the other, vocation, is the strong calling to a particular passionate work that is about mission and purpose and fulfillment. It's about living out your passion. Now, for some folks, their vocation and their occupation are one and the same, and that's great. But for some of us, that's not true, and that's okay. With most folks, particularly non-religious people, they don't really talk about vocation. Most talk about our occupation as a source of fulfillment. But it's not always. Throughout the stewardship series, we've been asking people to share about their gifts. And in this video here, I asked Elizabeth Chapman to share a little bit about how she sees stewardship and the sharing of gifts. So listen now as she shares what she thinks is important about sharing and working with our gifts.
Of the church for probably most of my adult life. My children who live locally were baptized here, as well as my local grandchildren. My local children went through the confirmation classes, and so my husband and I were married here. Reverend Taylor performed the wedding for my older daughter who lives locally, so it's been a part of my life for a very long time. But our church community is welcoming. It seeks diversity in our church members, and we have tolerance and acceptance and love for all humans. I think we have a very special opportunity at DCC with all the various missions that we hold as part of our cherished traditions in our church. We have opportunities to serve in so many capacities, and I oftentimes think about the three words that are on many of the literature pieces we have for the church. And those three words are connect, serve, and grow. And I think in making connections with people within the church and outside the church in our community, we have an opportunity to show God's love and maybe make the world a little bit better place. When we serve others, we are bringing God's love to the world, and certainly growth is part of that. Spiritual growth within the person who is doing the serving, and hopefully spiritual growth for those we reach out to. When Reverend Summers made mention last Sunday that one of his greatest moments in his ministry is to see people within our church community giving of themselves. That really hit home for me because I think when we all identify the ways in which we can give back to our church community and our world, those are the ways that we can feel God's presence. My greatest hope for my own gifts is that people whose lives I'm connected to might feel accepted, they might feel loved, and they might feel gratitude and peace for the blessings that we have in our world. I would really encourage anyone who hasn't yet had the motivation or the courage to step up and join one of the missions of the church. You will be amazed at the growth and the blessings that will come to you and to your world if you do that.
I hope that you heard the last part of that video where she talked about seeing our gifts and stepping up to take the next point in our journey. Part of that journey is asking the question, what are my gifts? And the answer to that is another question is, what is my passion? What's that thing that gets you excited that you get a skip in your step or an extra heartbeat that gets your blood pumping that you get passionate about? And in order to answer that question, you have to start a journey of asking God to unveil a vision for what that looks like. Today in your bulletins is a green insert. I want you to take that green insert out. And it's entitled, Give by Serving. And part of the stewardship series, you know, that we'll be making commitments later on this month of filling out estimated giving cards for 2018. But more so, we're also asking people to think, not just financially about your gifts, but to think about your hands, your feet, your mind, your soul. I don't want you to fill this out right now, because it's the sermon. No. I don't want you to fill this out right now, but I want you to take it home. Please don't put it in the recycling bin on your way out. I want you to take this home. I want you to look it over. I want you to pray. God, what are you calling me to be passionate about? God, how are you calling me to use my gifts? If you look through this insert, you can see all the ways in which people can serve in our congregation. People can give of their gifts. For us, we must see that our gifts are integral to what it means to be a follower of Christ. For what does it mean for us to understand the big picture? That you are God's gifted beloved. And no matter what people say or what you do, you will always be God's gifted beloved. But as the Apostle Paul reminded the Corinthian church, it reminds us that our spiritual lives, that our gifts, we need to tap into our passions to connect and grow and serve here in our congregation and in our own life. Richard Rohr is a spiritual writer, and I'll end with this. He wrote a book, it's called Falling Upward, The Spirituality for the Two Halves of Life. Rohr says, the first half of our life, we build a foundation of security and identity and work, and spiritually we find ourselves being secure in that. But he says that there's something that happens, and for men we call this a midlife crisis, that the second half of life, we see that those things, they don't start doing for us what they did for us in the first half. And the second half of our spiritual life is about growing into a new unknown, of seeing ourselves and using our gifts in a new place, in a new time. That's our challenge for our congregation as we move forward together. To see yourself as God's gifted beloved and begin to use your gifts and to serve in such a way that you will experience and see amazing things. Journey with me on this challenge. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for all the gifts you give us. And God, help us to see that our fulfillment, our meaning in life, our value isn't in how glorious or how virtuous or how prestigious our job is, but no, God, our value is in your beloved, the gifted beloved, that are called, all called to share of their gifts, whether it be time or talents, passion, financial resources. All of those are needed for us to be connected to you and our congregation. Bless us with this challenge. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.